Amen. Well, we've been going through a series called Hail to the King. And we've been going through the book of Matthew, and we're getting really close to finishing it up, finally. And we've been talking about, in the past few weeks, how Jesus Christ, he was beaten, how he went through a trial, how he suffered, how he shed his blood, and how he died on the cross, how he was buried. We talked about all these things in the past few weeks, and today we come to the passage where we talk about Jesus' resurrection. And so to look at that, we want to look to Matthew chapter 28. And by the way, the title of today's sermon is Fear and Great Joy. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. And I ask that you turn your Bibles to Matthew 28 if you do have your own Bible. If not, that's okay. We do have it on the screen. But if you can, please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll be reading from verses 1 to 10. And if you did pick up one of these Bibles, we're on page 835. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. All right, this is the reading of God's Word. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. Did you ever feel a mix of emotions? Like when maybe a dear friend leaves the country and you're happy for them because they're going and they're pursuing their dream of maybe studying somewhere, or maybe they're going to another country to live a different kind of life over there, a life that they've been looking forward to. But at the same time, they're leaving. And so you feel kind of sad about it. It's bittersweet. Or like when something a little more serious, how many of us feel saddened that COVID has been spreading all around the world and it's affecting so many people's lives, and COVID is affecting so many churches all around the world. And for some of us, we have family back in our home countries where we hear about how they're still on lockdown, or their lives are affected by this whole COVID situation. But at the same time, we're here in Taiwan. And so we feel grateful that the government has done their part, and we feel a little bit safer here. So there's these mix of emotions that we might feel. But what about these two ideas of fear and joy? Have you ever felt that kind of mix before? Normally we would not talk about these maybe two emotions or these two ideas together, fear and joy. But in our passage today, the woman, it says that they felt fear and great joy. And that's the title of our sermon today, Fear and Great Joy. Now, it talks about how they were rushing off to go and tell the other disciples, and then Jesus met them. They had an encounter with Jesus. And then as soon as they encountered Jesus, they started to worship him. And in a similar way, when we have an encounter with Jesus, what it should lead to is us worshiping Jesus. But there's something that needs to happen in between. When we encounter Jesus, something happens that leads us to worship. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And so the main idea for today is encounter and worship Jesus. Encounter and worship Jesus. And the three ideas for today are fear, joy, and great joy. Fear, joy, and great joy. Now, as I begin, I want to talk just real quick about this idea of encounter and worship. Every single Sunday that we come here and meet together, we actually have an opportunity to encounter Jesus. Every time that the sermon is spoken, every time you read from God's word, there is an opportunity for you to actually have an encounter with Jesus. Of course, in the passage today, they have a supernatural type of encounter. Jesus actually appears in front of them. But what we can experience week after week is a natural encounter with God, where at the very beginning of the service, we sing a song and then we have a call to worship. And the idea is that we're supposed to imagine and remember who our God is, how great He is, and we're actually coming into His presence to worship Him. Just imagine, we're coming before the Creator of this world, and when we have the call to worship, we're calling everyone to remember who you are coming before. The great King, our great God who has created this world. He knows everything that's going on in your heart. Remember who you are coming before. And we're supposed to have this kind of encounter with our God. And what that should lead to is worship, where we are bowing down with our hearts, maybe even physically, where we are bowing before our King and saying, we acknowledge you as our master. We acknowledge you as our King. We acknowledge that you are the creator of this universe, that you are over all things, that you are God Almighty. And so we acknowledge you and we give thanks to you. And that's what should be happening every single Sunday. As you hear the call to worship, you remember who our God is, and it should lead us to worship. Now, again, the main idea is to encounter and worship Jesus. And the three points are fear, joy, and great joy. And so let's talk about this first point, fear. As we look at the passage today, there are these events that happened. There are these things that happened that actually caused fear in the woman. Now, it doesn't say explicitly, it just says that they were filled with fear and great joy. And so it's kind of up to us to kind of think through what was going on during that time, and just to imagine, and just to imagine what it would be like if you were actually there and you experienced all the things that these women were experiencing. Remember, in the previous passages, the women were there when Jesus was crucified. The women were there when he was buried. And it mentions here the women were there when Jesus resurrected. Now, if you were going through everything that the women were experiencing, what would you feel? Now, one of the things that happened during that time was that there was an earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And it was a great earthquake that the Bible says that it was caused by this angel that descended from heaven, and this angel came and rolled the stone away. So there's this great earthquake. It wasn't just an earthquake. Actually, when Jesus died, it talked about how there was an earthquake at that time also, but then this one is a great earthquake. There's this great earthquake that happened. And so imagine, like, how do you feel when an earthquake happens? Let me just ask this way. How many of you guys are afraid of earthquakes? Okay, a number of us. I remember I lived in California when I remember one time I was just freaked out when an earthquake happened, and my brother, my sister, and I, we were all sitting around the breakfast table, and an earthquake happened. It was one of the big earthquakes in the past in California, and I just went under the table, and I was so scared, and I didn't even think about my brother and sister. And they were just sitting there by themselves. Yeah, we're afraid of earthquakes because perhaps the reason why we're afraid of earthquakes is because it's something that I have no control over. And I wish that maybe I can have some type of control over this situation, but I can't. And it's because we feel that things are out of control. We don't have any way to make sure that we're going to be safe. You know, we don't know if this building will collapse or not. When you're sleeping in bed and an earthquake happens, you don't know what might happen. And so because things are out of our hands, there's this fear that we feel. And for a moment, there's this prospect of physical death, and that's what we're fearing. We're fearing, what if something happens? There's a second thing that happens, and that is that this angel comes down and actually appears in front of these women, and it says that his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Imagine if all of a sudden this angel appears, and it's just white like lightning, and just all of a sudden, and then this angel is about to speak to you. As this angel's coming down, there's this earthquake that you're feeling. Oh man! Now let me ask this question: how many of you have had an encounter with an angel? Okay, I'm kind of joking about that. I kind of did want to see if anyone raised their hands, but this is kind of meant to be a joke, but actually I'm not saying that this is impossible. You know, God has worked in ways in the past where angels did actually appear to people, but obviously this is not commonplace. This is not something that we normally encounter. But if we were to encounter such a being, there would be fear. Why? Because you're encountering something supernatural, something that's beyond you, something that's a little bit out of your reach. You feel like there's some type of power that's there, and you feel that power, and you fear that power. It's like, you know, a natural version of that is when we have an encounter with some type of person that's a person of authority. Or a person like a celebrity. We feel this fear in this presence where we're kind of like, oh my goodness, this person is standing right in front of me. Because there's this presence of authority that they have. And when you encounter someone that seems more powerful than you, perhaps someone that has more authority than you, then there's this sense, perhaps in some situations, there's this feeling of, I need to protect myself in some way. I need to find some way to feel that things are going to be okay. And for a moment, you feel unsafe. And what we end up trying to do is either we run away. You know, sometimes we see a celebrity and then they run away. There was one time someone was trying to bring their friend to the front. And I could see them coming down the aisle here. They're trying to run away. Sometimes we run away, or we might find some kind of way to challenge their authority and say, no, I don't have to be afraid right now because I'm better than that person. Either way, there is that moment of fear, and there's a decision that we make about what we're going to do in that situation. There's another thing that happened in this situation, in today's passage, and that is that the angel tells the women, he is not here, for he has risen. Imagine if you were the woman at that time. Imagine if you were there and with all the disciples, you were really hoping that Jesus Christ would really be the savior of your people. Imagine if you and all the disciples were thinking, you know, Jesus Christ is here and he truly is the Messiah. And he told us all these things and he was really building up our hope. We were really looking forward to something. And then all of a sudden you see all of your hopes coming down, crashing down, because you see Jesus on the cross. And you see that he actually passes away. And all of those dreams, all of those hopes, all of a sudden are all gone. And you're disappointed. And you feel like everything that was promised to you was all of a sudden for nothing. And then you hear, Jesus Christ is back? I don't know if I want to believe in that idea. Or if he is, then what if he dies again? Maybe it's a little bit more familiar to us in our lives where there have been a lot of promises that were made to us. And you know, some of these things are silly promises, like promises that if you use a particular beauty product, it's going to make you look so much nicer. Or that, you know, some friendships, they say that they're your friend and they said they'll be your friend for a long time. Or maybe some relationships that you've gotten into and they said that they would be with you forever. But then you find yourself disappointed and hurt by these people. Or maybe there's the promise of a new vaccine that it will save us. Or maybe there's these types of promises where they're giving us all this hope and we just find ourselves disappointed. And so when we find ourselves disappointed, when we find ourselves hurt, we're hesitant. We don't know if we want to trust people again. We don't know, and we fear that feeling of maybe disappointment, that feeling of being hurt again, and we don't want to get back into that type of situation. And so there's a fear there. Ultimately, what we're feeling is a fear of sin, of how other people sin against us, or the effects of sin, of how the earth has been transformed into a place of death because of sin. Or perhaps it's our own sin where we find ourselves falling into different situations where we're getting disappointed or things aren't working out in our lives. Ultimately, what we're fearing, whether it be something I can't control or something where I don't feel safe or where I feel like I'm going to get hurt again, it's all a fear because of sin. If we could go to the next slide. Yeah, it's a fear of, if we could go back to that last slide, and then we could go to the next slide. Yeah, it's a fear of this danger to my physical body, or fear that there's danger to my status. You know, there's an authority figure, and I feel lower than the other person, and I want to either run away, or I want to become better than the other person. Or it's a fear because there's a danger to my emotional health. What if a person rejects me again, or what if a person disappoints me again? And so if we could go to the next slide. The fear that we feel is a fear of all kinds of deaths, which points to the ultimate death. Now, this is an important point that I want to make today. Whenever you feel that fear, any kind of fear that you feel, that initial fear that you feel is a natural reaction to what's happening in our lives. But then what do you do with that fear afterwards? That's the important question. Now, with that initial feeling of fear, that feeling, that initial reaction, is something that comes out because that fear is actually pointing to an ultimate fear that all of us have. Every time we feel that fear, it's a type of death that we feel. An emotional death, perhaps a fear of a physical death, perhaps it's a fear of a loss of identity, perhaps it's a fear that we're not going to succeed. All of these things are ways that we feel some type of death in this life. And what that feeling is, it's a pointer to the ultimate death that our souls are fearing. In a similar way, when we encounter Jesus, it's not just an encounter with just another person, but it's an encounter with God Himself. He who has the power to destroy your physical life, He who has authority over you to tell you what to do and what not to do. He who deserves and demands your respect and your worship. He is the great king. And so there is fear when you encounter Jesus. But here's the thing. Not only is there fear, but there can also be joy. And this is our second point. There can be joy because when we look at what the scripture says, the Bible tells us that even if things like earthquakes happen, even if there's a great earthquake and there's a danger to our physical life, what we can know and remember is that God is in control. God is the creator of this whole world, and so he has the power to be in control over all things. And so even if things like earthquakes happen, we can trust that he's in control. Or if there's an encounter with something supernatural, or maybe some kind of encounter with some type of authority where we feel there's some kind of danger from this authority, or there's some danger from this other person that's trying to exert their authority on you, we don't have to fear, but we can actually feel joy because we know that God is more powerful and he is able to keep us safe. God is more powerful than anything or anyone that's in our lives that's trying to exert their power over us. And so there is joy because we can trust that God is more powerful. But also with the last one, I know I have the words Jesus' resurrection up there, but what I'm talking about is this idea of how we may fear this disappointment or this fear of getting hurt once again. But what we know from the Bible is that God is in control. And because he's not only in control, but he has this plan that's in place. He has a plan, and everything that occurred with Jesus' death and his resurrection was always a part of God's plan. You know, I want to point to a verse that I pointed out in recent sermons where it talks about how what happened with Jesus was something that was prophesied even in the Old Testament times. This is what it says in Psalm 16:10. It says, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption." This verse is pointed out even in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about how, or in the book of Acts, where it talks about how this is talking about Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy about how Jesus Christ would die, but also he would rise again from the dead. So this was all a part of God's plan all along. And so if God has a plan, then we don't have to fear that we'll get disappointed again. We'll know that there's a purpose in everything that's going on in our lives, and we can trust that God is doing his work and that his work will be done. Now, here's the thing. Even though we may feel this joy, but a lot of times when we encounter Jesus, we don't necessarily feel that joy, but we continue to feel a fear. Even though we come here every single Sunday, for those of us that are Christians, we come here and we hear God's word, and when we hear God's word, we should be filled with joy because of what we hear from God's word. But as soon as we leave this place, we're still filled with fear. The fear of what's going to happen with our jobs. The fear of what if I never get married. The fear of what if I don't get past this sickness this time. We have these fears. What if my business doesn't work out? What if my family continues to think this way about me? What if my friends think that way about me? We still have all these fears that are filling our lives. What if this or that happens to my children? What if this doesn't get fixed in my life? What if things don't become better with my health? We have all these fears that we struggle with. Even as Christians, what we do is that instead of looking to God's word and being filled with joy because of who our God is, we still struggle with all these fears because we take our eyes off of our God and we put our eyes on the things of this world. When there is a fear of being out of control, what we end up doing, when we get that initial feeling of fear, what we end up doing is that we take our eyes off of God and how He's in control, and we try to find all kinds of ways to protect ourselves. And so, for example, if we survive an earthquake, we take all these safety measures, and it's good to take all these safety measures, but we do it with an attitude that if we do these things, then maybe we can save ourselves. And when we do survive another earthquake, we end up praising and worshiping ourselves or our methods of how we've kept ourselves safe, rather than worshiping God who is ultimately in control. When there's a fear of a loss of status or identity because of an encounter with someone who is exerting some kind of authority on us, we try to find all kinds of ways to show that we are somehow still better. Or we may run away feeling helpless. And we try all kinds of ways to find some sense of importance and some sense of meaning in our lives to say that, no, I am good enough. No, I'm better than that person. No, I will make things better for myself. And we do this rather than finding our importance and meaning in our lives through Jesus, who is the ultimate authority. And when there's a fear of disappointment, we take our eyes off of our God and we put our eyes on the things of this world and we try to find all kinds of ways to keep ourselves from being disappointed again. We may isolate ourselves from people. We stay away from other people. We don't want to get too close with other people. And even though maybe some of us, we want to have a deep relationship with other people, but at the same time, because of our fear, we stay away from other people. What we end up finding ourselves in is we find ourselves isolated. We find ourselves without relationships. We find ourselves imprisoned to this type of fear rather than looking to Jesus, who has a plan through all of the things that we've experienced in our lives. Our Jesus who will not disappoint us. And here's the thing. Instead of looking to Jesus, what we end up doing is that we abandon Jesus. You know, as a pastor, I fall into this myself also. I'm supposed to be a person that reads God's word and studies God's word. And I'm supposed to be the person that has no fear and I'm constantly having my eyes on the Lord. But I'll admit to you guys that I take my eyes off of Jesus too. Just a specific example is that in recent years, I'm a missionary. And one of the things that missionaries do is we're supposed to raise support. And I have to write newsletters very often. And there's this temptation for me to want to write, oh, this wonderful thing happened in our ministry today. And this wonderful thing happened because there's this fear that if I don't report anything good that's happening, then my support will go away. And if my support goes away, again, this is my fear. If my support goes away, then how am I going to be able to survive? I'm not going to have food. I'm not going to be able to have a place to stay. How am I going to continue in the ministry that I feel like God has called me to do? But actually, it goes even deeper. And the fear that I have is I want people to know that what I'm doing is important, and I want people to know that I'm important. I want people to accept me and what I'm doing. And I'm talking about missionary life. I'm talking about what I went through, but I'm sure that many of you guys feel something similar. Maybe with your own jobs. Maybe in your relationships with people. Maybe in your relationship with your spouse Or maybe in your relationship with your parents. Maybe you feel this fear that maybe they won't accept you. They might reject you. I take my eyes off of Jesus all the time, and I get driven by this fear. But here's the thing. What if all of a sudden I hear that Jesus is going to appear right in front of us right now? I'm not saying he will. But what if? I take my eyes off of Jesus and I abandon Jesus, and then Jesus, I hear that Jesus is going to appear. That's what happened to the woman. The woman, they have an encounter with an angel, and then they hear all of a sudden, look, Jesus is not here. He will appear to you. And then all of a sudden, for me, if I hear that Jesus is going to appear and I know that I abandoned him, then I'm going to be filled not with great joy, but with great fear, because Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who has ultimate power, the one who has ultimate authority to judge me, may sentence me to a life of eternal death because of how I abandoned Jesus. That's the fear that I might feel. But in that moment, these very important words were spoken. In verse 5, it says, "But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay.'" And in the same way, Jesus appears to the woman. And what does he say? In verse 9, it says, "And behold, Jesus met them and said," he said hello. He says hello, but then he goes on and says, in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." In the midst of fear, Jesus' gentle voice comes and tells us that even though he is the creator of the universe, even though he is more powerful and has all authority, even though he is the great king, his gentle voice says, "It's okay. There's no need to be afraid." And this, when we hear that voice, is how we begin to experience great joy. And we come to our last point, great joy. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." And let those words echo in your minds. Whenever you feel that fear, whenever you feel that anxiousness, remember those words that Jesus says to us. "Do not be afraid. Look, I died for you. Your sins are forgiven. I have taken care of your guilt and your shame. You don't need to feel these things anymore. But not only did I die, I rose again from the dead. And I did conquer death." That death that you fear, the ultimate fear that you have is of that ultimate death. That death, that ultimate death, I have conquered it. And you won't have to face that eternal death. You don't have to hold on to your guilt about the way that you abandoned Jesus, because Jesus took care of it on the cross. You don't have to feel that shame. You don't have to hold on to that shame anymore. You can say, "Jesus died for me, and he rose again, and he conquered sin and death." And I have life today because Jesus is alive. He is risen. He's not in the grave any longer. He is risen. And the amazing thing is that when Jesus said these words, "Do not be afraid," you could imagine that as Jesus was about to speak it, all the years of all the Old Testament, all those years where God was crying out to his people and saying, "Return to me, return to me. You guys continue to fall away from me. You guys continue to sin against me. You guys continue to abandon me." All those years where he was sending his prophets and saying, "Come back to me. I love you. You are my people. Come back to me. Come back to me." All of those things are on his mind. And even with that, even though his people continue to sin against him, even though we continue to sin against him, the words that come out through these simple words, "Do not be afraid," the meaning is, even though you rejected me, I have died for you. I love you. And I am alive, and there's nothing to be afraid about anymore. If we could go to the next slide. There is great joy, because what we can know is that ultimately, whenever we have those different kinds of fears in our lives, we can remember God's good plan will take place. That's what we see happen with Jesus Christ. Even though he did die, but his plan will take place, and Jesus did rise again. When we feel like we're not safe, we can remember that God's plan is to keep you ultimately safe because he has the ultimate authority. We may go through times in this world. We may go through times where we face dangers. But ultimately, we know that God will keep us safe. We don't have to be afraid. We may say, "I don't want to get hurt again." But what we can know is that God's plan ultimately will not disappoint us. And we can trust him. Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross and how he did rise again. And I don't have this on the screen, but what we can look forward to is what's found in Revelation chapter 21. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" You see, encountering Jesus will lead to fear when we understand who he is and the sin that we have. But ultimately, it will lead to great joy, and it will lead to worship, because we know what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And that worship, what that looks like is that we will acknowledge him. We will say, "Yes, Jesus, this is what you've done for us." And we will give thanks to him. So today, I encourage all of us here, if you choose to do so, whether you are a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, today I want to encourage all of us to acknowledge that we are sinners before God. But at the same time, because of Jesus, let's acknowledge what he's done for us, how he died on the cross for our sins, and how he conquered sin and death, how he rose again from the dead. Let's acknowledge this and let's give thanks to him. Let's sing out loud and worship him because he has the victory. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you because you did die on the cross for our sins. There's no longer any need for us to hold on to our guilt. There's no need any longer to hold on to our shame. We are forgiven because, and we know this because your word says so. And we are fully accepted by you. We are accepted into the family of God. We are called your children because of what you suffered for us. And so, Lord, today as we remember that we don't have to hold on to our guilt and shame, Lord, may we rejoice. May there be great joy in our hearts today. May we be fully encouraged because our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished it all for us. There is no longer any need for fear because there is victory over death. And so, Lord, today may we continue to celebrate and give thanks to you and acknowledge you as our King. May we do it, Lord, for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm.